It's a joy to be with you today and have this opportunity of speaking the word to you. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, the first chapter, and I want to read a few verses and then speak to you on one of those verses. But before we read, let's pray together. Our Father, once again we come before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of our need. We pray that today as we look in your word that the Holy Spirit shall be our teacher, that you will give us ears to hear thy word, that you will give us hearts to understand it, and that you would give us wills to be obedient. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the Gospel of John, beginning at, at verse 19, chapter 1. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I'm not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I'm not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou thyself?" He said, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming to him, and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same saith," "unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." As we look at this passage of Scripture, John lived his life to testify to Christ. Several times in the passage that he was asked, "Who are you?" And he could have said in any one of them, "Well, I'm the Christ." But he didn't say that. He said, "I am the one come to prepare the way of the Christ." And as we look at this passage before us today, I want us to focus our mind upon the 29th verse, which says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John could have pointed him out as a great teacher. He could have pointed him out as a good example. He could have pointed him out as a preacher of love. But he didn't do any of that. He pointed him out as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And today I want us to think about that. You know, when we come together, we want to worship God. We want to have our minds focused on the one that has done so much for us. And today, I want to speak about this message of beholding the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There are about six things I want to say to you, but we may get through them this morning before we have to quit. But I want to point out several things to you about this one verse that points us to Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. First of all, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Jesus was a personally known Lamb to John. He had personally seen the Christ. He had personally known Him to be the Christ. In his mother's womb, he had come in the presence of Christ, and he leapt while he was in his mother's womb. And down through the time that he had been out in the wilderness, he had been preparing the way for the Lord. And he had no sign except when he baptized Jesus and the heavens opened and a dove descended. And he knew then that this is the one that was coming to be the Lamb of God. He didn't say, "I think this is the Lamb." He says, "Come and look for yourself. I know Him." And that's the intimacy that we need to have as God's people. When we're asked about Christ, who He is, and what He has done to save His people, we need to be always ready to say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He came into this world for one purpose, and that was to be a substitute for sinners. Come and look for yourself. John learned that He was the Lamb of God. He personally knew Him to be the Lamb of God. I wonder today, have you learned this one? If someone asks you who Jesus is and what He has done, are you prepared to say, "Here is the Lamb of God. He takes away sin"? Pardon me. Can you testify that He is the substitute for you, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world? He is a substitute. He is the one who propitiated the wrath of God against sinners. He's the one who stepped in between us and God's wrath and became our substitute. He was a vicarious substitute. He was one who made a vicarious atonement for us. And so today, look at this one, this Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was a personally known Lamb. But then the second thing we see about this verse is that He was a particular Lamb. It says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." It didn't say, here's a Lamb, but here's the Lamb. There were other sacrifices that had been made throughout the history of the Jews in the Old Testament. Back as when Cain and Abel came together, they offered sacrifices. And Moses offered sacrifices. Noah offered sacrifices. Isaac was known to be one who offered sacrifices. And then there was the Paschal Lamb. And all of these were ingrained in the life of God's people. They looked for a Lamb, one who would be a substitute for them. Pardon me. But then when John came on the scene and pointed this one out, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." All of these other lambs that had been sacrificed in times past was pointing to this one who would come and be the Savior of sinners. Many of them had been mentioned daily in the temple. There were lambs that were sacrificed. Morning and evening sacrifices came. And then there's the Paschal Lamb at Passover time. That was a lamb. But John was not pointing out those to the people. He was looking at the one that they prefigured and said, "Look, this is the Lamb of God." Isaiah spoke about a lamb. He said, "Who has believed our report? Whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And he went on to point out that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. That all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. This is the Lamb that John was pointing out to the people that day. A particular Lamb focused on this one. And as we go about our ministries here, let's keep in mind that Our job is to point to the Lamb. He's the one who is the Savior of sinners. Not only was He a personally known Lamb and a particular Lamb, but He was a provided Lamb. He was the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. You remember Abraham was told to take his son, go up to Mount Moriah, and offer him there as a sacrifice. And he got up early and set out with his son and was going to go up and offer him as a sacrifice. And as they walked along, Isaac, being a smart fellow that he was, said, Father, we got the knife and we got the fire, but where's the lamb? And Abraham said something that was prophetic. He said, My son, the Lord will provide Himself a lamb. If you look at the Hebrew there, it doesn't say provide for Himself a lamb. It said He would provide Himself a lamb. And you remember the story as He went on up and He bound His son and put Him on the altar and was about to slay His son. Caught in the bushes behind Him was a substitute. And that was what was prefigured. It was the Lamb of God, the Lamb that God had provided. And you know, we picture Abraham sacrificing his son. And we say that was a very awful thing to have done. Well, go back to that same place. Many people think that it was the very same place where Isaac was put on an altar, that another father put his son on a cross. And when it came time for him to slay his son, there was no substitute for him. And he bore in his body our sins on the tree. He was the lamb that God had provided. This is the only sacrifice that is acceptable. In fact, Isaiah further said that he had put him to grief. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. That was the lamb that had been provided by God. The only acceptable sacrifice for the sins of men was this one that was pointed out by John as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But not only was He personally known, He was a particular Lamb, He was a provided Lamb, but He was a propitious Lamb. He was a Lamb whose death turned away the wrath of God from sinners. You see, the Bible tells us that God is angry with the wicked every day. That the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. And yet God hateth all workers of iniquity. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon those who refuse to look to the Lamb. But this concept here is that He takes and He takes away. He not only takes upon Himself our sin, but He takes away our sins. In fact, in 1 Peter 2, we read a very good description of this. It would be good for you to look there. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again, when He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You see, he took our sins upon him. Can you understand what it would be like to stand before a holy God with your sins? Pardon me. Your sins before a holy God. This Lamb of God took your sins, and he bore them, and he bore them away. In fact, the Bible speaks of our sins being cast into the sea and of being remembered no more against us. You might look at your own life, and you've experienced a life in Christ, and this life in Christ would be nothing unless you knew the depth of the sin that he had borne in his body on the tree. He did it for us. He bore in his body our sin on the tree. He takes and he taketh away. That's a present tense verb there. He takes away. Right now, he takes away the sin of the world. He taketh away. Listen, folks. This sin that was paid for on the cross cost God the death of his Son. Think about that. It cost the Father the death of his Son to take away our sins. And this sacrifice is one that not only was done, but one which took away our sins and continues to take away our sins. The Bible says that he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, he was slain. And this work that he did is still effective today. It saved all the saints of the Old Testament. It saved the saints in the New Testament. It saved the saints down through church history. And it's still in the business of saving people today. This Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's as fresh and as effective as if it were done today. There's an ever-flowing fount of merit coming from the work of Christ on the cross. Cooper said it well in the song that we love to sing. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. A fountain filled with blood, a fountain of merit that's filled with his blood. This is the sanctifying grace that we have today. The work of Christ is still with us. And it's all rooted in the sacrifice of this one who was a personally known lamb, who was a particular lamb, who was a provided lamb, who was a propitious lamb, and who was a perpetual lamb. He's still in the business today of saving folks. Pardon me. But then the last thing we see about this is he is a plenteous lamb. An all-sufficient sacrifice. There's no other sacrifice that could be made or can be made. And there's no other bearer of sin the way than this one who took away the sins of the world. He took away the sins of the Jews and the Gentiles alike. Doesn't say he's taken away every sin of every man, woman, and child, but he's taking away the sins of Jews and Gentiles alike. All manner of sin, all races of men can have their sins removed by this Christ. Any place that you go, you can have your sin removed by Christ. It may be a long-held sin in your life. It may be something that is plaguing you even today. That sin can be taken away. It may be a criminal sin, and it can be taken away. It may be a heinous sin. That can be taken away. Any sin in the world can be taken away. In fact, John 3 tells us that God loved the world in this way. He gave his only begotten Son that all the believing ones in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the kind of sacrifice that he made for us. all-sufficient sacrifice, taking away the sin of the world. There's no debate here for John. He said, "Behold, look for yourself, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." There are many theories about the atonement today. There's a lot of things going on in the convention today about the controversy of Calvinism and non-Calvinist. But there's one thing that John knew here, that this one, when his work was done, it wasn't a potential thing if you did something. It was a sin bearer. He actually took away your sin. It's not he did something if you will do something. You know, there are a lot of people today that say, "You take the first step and God will take your rest." I've never seen dead men walking. They can't take the first step. He has to take the first step, and he did it in his role as the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. There's an actual substitution that was made. In fact, Jonathan Edwards talked about the fact that when Christ died, his people were seen as on the cross with him. Can you think about that? You know, we sing that song, or some people sing the song. I don't sing it, but I don't know it. But I know of it. It says that when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Well, that's not really true. When he was on the cross, I was there too. Because God counted his death for mine. He counted his propitiated the wrath of God for mine. He did that for me. And all of these theories of the atonement, whether he actually atoned for sin or he just made a practical potential atonement. Charles Spurgeon said something that I have on a little sign in my office. And he said, "Long ago I ceased counting heads. Truth is usually in the minority in this evil world. I have faith in the Lord Jesus for myself, a faith burned into me as with a hot iron. I thank God what I believe, I shall believe, even if I believe it alone. If I'm the last man to glory in the substitution of the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall count myself honored to bear his cross alone." The thing he was talking about there was this, that Jesus actually made a real atonement for sin. He took it away. But we, you see, are living today, and our souls have been healed by this one. And we love him because he loved us. I don't know if you read Pilgrim's Progress recently, but you know, when Pilgrim was struggling with the load of sin on his back, when he looked to the cross, remember what it says happened? The load fell off of him and rolled down the hill into an open tomb. That's what happened for us. He actually takes away our sins. Most of you here today have experienced that in your life. The burden of sin has fallen off your back when you saw the Lamb of God. But what can you do when you face trouble in your life? When your daughter comes in and says she's pregnant, not married, what are you going to do? When you have a death in the family that you weren't expecting, the person was not ready to meet God, what are you going to do? Where do you go to find peace and solace in your life? When you lose your job, you don't have a way to make a living, what are you going to do? And where are you going to go? Who are you going to look to? You're going to look to this one who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When you are on your deathbed, as we heard about this morning in the singing, when you're there, what is going to be your hope? It's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And you know, today we focus our mind upon this one verse, that this was a personally known lamb. He was a particular lamb. He was a provided lamb. He was a propitious lamb. He is a perpetual lamb. And he is a plenteous lamb. Is he your lamb? Have you looked to Him? Have you come to that place in your life? Not with your mama and daddy's faith, children, boys and girls. Don't count on your mama and daddy to get you in. The one that will open the door to heaven for you is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We'd all meet before the Lord one day. I believe you've heard the truth from God's Word this morning, as feeble as it might have been. But I wanted to point you to the Lamb of God, because He takes away sin. And if you have sin in your life today, look to Him. The Bible tells us, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Isaiah 55 goes on to say, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." And that is my exhortation to you this day. If you've never savingly come to Christ, seek Him today. There's going to come a time when He won't be found of you. If He's talking to you today, if He's speaking to you at heart today, see us after the service is over, and we'll point you to this one who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let us pray. Father, once again, we come before Your presence. We thank You for the truth of this verse before us, that there is something that has actually been done in the behalf of sinners to do away with our sin. We pray that You'll impress upon our hearts the great price that was paid for removing the sins of Your people. And we pray that this week may be a time when we demonstrate our love to You in telling this good news to those around us. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Dismissed.